Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. Father, also anoint our hearts to receive and speak to our hearts from yours. In Jesus' name. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, we've got the best song leader I know anywhere. We do. She's got an anointing. You know why that's important? Because it ushers in the presence of God. And without an anointed song leader, the message is not going to get through. That's why we do it. She's got an anointing. She's the best song leader I know. Thank God for her. Pray for her. Because just like the pastor gets attacked, so will the song leader. Why? Because the message won't come forth if the song leader is not effective. And this is an effective song leader. Let's pray for her real quick right now. Steve, if you would be so kind. Open your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And starting in verse 8, the Word of God says, "But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now recognize and understand, therefore, that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love and mercy with those who love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations." This is the nature of God. Because He loves you, and because you fulfill His promise, God has brought you out of the bondage of Egypt, the world. What is it that brings me to the bondage of the world? It is the bondage to my flesh. Because the flesh and the world work together. And if the soul is not properly aligned with the human spirit, and the human spirit is not receiving from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit, then the soul will align itself with the flesh. But if the Spirit of God is fellowshipping with the human spirit, the soul will properly align itself with the human spirit. And this is the dilemma that every believer faces. That either their soul will align itself with the world via their flesh, or the soul will align itself with God via their spirit. This is the two men that Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 7. The one man is bondage. The other man, the spirit man, is freedom. God will give me a promise, and then He'll put me in the trial. Just like He did with Adam and Eve. You see, the ram was slain before the foundation of the world. And they had learned about this because God would meet them in the garden every day and He would teach them doctrine. And so they would learn about this, about the promises of God, about God's faithfulness and character. And God gave them a promise before the trial began. And after the trial began, they still possessed the promise. You see, their life started with a promise. The believer's life starts with a promise. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So that no matter what the trial may bring, no matter what the enemy may throw against me, no matter what the world may do, no matter what my flesh may do, I have a promise. And it is the promise of God. And He loves me, and because He is faithful to the covenant that He has made, He will bring me through and I will be victorious. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. Whenever God gives a promise, He will be faithful to that promise. And if it is a promise to me, then God will be faithful towards that promise towards me. God will always be faithful. God will always be faithful. God will never reject me. God will never refuse me, and God will never deny me. God will always be faithful. And it doesn't matter what I've done in my flesh and how bad I botched it from time to time, because we've all been there. God will always be faithful. Now the word faithful there, the word faithful is the word eman. And it means to be firm, to build up, to support, to nurture, or to establish. But the primary meaning is that of providing stability and confidence like a baby would find in the arms of a parent. This is what the faithfulness of God is. It is that stability and confidence that an infant finds when they are being held in the arms of their parent. This is God's faithfulness. This is God's faithfulness. That's why in Song of Solomon chapter 2, the Word of God says, He puts His left hand under your head and He embraces you with His right. His left hand there is speaking of His wisdom. He puts His wisdom into your mind and He embraces you with His strength and His power. This is the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What is the fellowship of His Son? The fellowship of His Son is several things. People like some of them, but they often don't like others. The fellowship of His Son is the fellowship of His mercy and His love. It is the fellowship of His goodness and His kindness and His gentleness. It is the fellowship of His heart towards us. And that is the first thing that He will give to us. He will give us His heart. You see, what have you that you have not received? The Word of God says in Proverbs, "My son, give me your heart." But first, He gives you His. You see, God will take away by adding, and add by taking away. He will add to me His heart, and He will remove my stony heart. He will add to me His faithfulness, and He will remove my insecurity. He will add to me His gentleness and His loving kindness, and He will remove my fear. He will remove from me the things of the flesh, and He will add to me the things of the Spirit. He will cut away from me natural preferences, natural desires, natural ways of doing things. And He will give me His way of doing things and His desires. see God takes away by adding and adds by taking away. His ways really are higher than ours. That's why that message earlier was right from the throne. That's why it's so important. That message will save people's lives. Why? Because He loves us and He's faithful to us. And so He gives us His Word through His Spirit. And He is faithful. The fellowship of His suffering, this is one we don't like. We want the fellowship of Christ. We get the fellowship of His heart, but we also have the fellowship of His suffering. You see, He did not go through this world without scourging and mocking and beating and crucifixion. He did not go through this world with acceptance, although for some season He did have it, and for some He never lost it with some. But with the world at large, He did not have it. He did not go through this world without a cross. And so we have the fellowship of His suffering. Will we suffer with Christ that we may reign with Him? Or will we not suffer so as to preserve our natural lives and then lose them? See, this is an important part. If I'm going to have the fellowship of His heart, I'll also have the fellowship of His suffering. I'll also have the fellowship of His provision and His loving kindness, but I will also have the fellowship of His cross. You see, it is a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword. Out of His mouth came a two-edged sword. And if I want the fellowship of God, I will have to fellowship with a two-edged sword. But I will tell you one thing. I will get to know God more sweetly and more intimately. And you will be more dear to me than all of life itself. In Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He predestinated me to be conformed to His image. This was the plan before the foundation of the world. This was the predestination for the believer, to be conformed to His image. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That word temptation is the trial and it's the test that we were talking about earlier for the proving, not for the harm, for the proving, not to cause you to fall, but to cause you to be promoted, to cause you to be built. That is the temptation. That is the test. It is there to build you. Don't you see the value of the test? We don't like it because our emotions frequently have a hard time with it, because there's still an element in us that isn't trusting Him yet, and we're all there, and we're all going to be there in one way or another, constantly growing, constantly changing, constantly being conformed to His image until the day we go home. And sometimes the test is not going to be so bad. Sometimes the test is actually going to be rather nice. Did you realize that there is such a thing as a nice trial? There is. When I respond to God in that trial and I see Him come through for me, the trial is sweet. The trial is sweet. The trial is only difficult when my emotions kick against it. My emotions will kick against it because I'm not trusting Him in it. But if I'm trusting Him in it, if I'm confident toward His character in that trial, then I'll say, I will see God come through. There hath no test, no trial for promotion taken you, such as is not common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above you are able. God isn't going to give you a trial that you are not able to endure. And yes, your emotions may not like it, and sometimes you'll even be tempted to run out of it. Don't run if you are tempted. That is the plan of the enemy for you in the trial. But sometimes the temptation will come because we are human beings. But God will not give you a trial that you can't handle. God is not going to give you so much that you cannot bear it. You see, His grace is sufficient. And not just sufficient, it is superabundant, is what the original language indicates. In your trial, God's grace will sustain you. In your trial, God's grace will provide for you. And in your trial, God's grace will be there to love you. Do you know why they could see Him in the furnace? Because they needed to. He will always give you what you need in the trial, because He is faithful. If He has to appear to me Himself in person, He will give me what I need. It's like that story with Richard Wurmbrand. And he was in a communist prison in Romania, 14 years of torture. And two of those years he spent in solitary confinement. And one of those days he was so broken because he could not remember a single passage from the Bible. He was a pastor and he could not remember a single verse from the Bible. And he was so broken by God. And he was so broken by the fact that he loved God but could not remember anything about Him because of the difficulty of the trial. God's grace was sufficient. And an angel appeared to him. And the angel asked him, "Do you love Jesus?" And he said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, He loves you too." Can you imagine that? The faithfulness of God, that an angel would appear to tell you that God loves you. Can you imagine that? God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. In Hebrews chapter 2, "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Merciful there is talking about compassion, and He knows exactly what we are going through because He has gone through the same thing Himself. And not only has He gone through the same thing Himself, He is living in us and going through it with us. Don't you realize that you're not alone? You're not alone. God is living and He's alive and He's on the throne and He is in charge and He is in you. And you are not alone. And He doesn't run from you in the trial, so we don't run from Him either in the trial. And He will give me exactly what I need in that trial. And yes, it's still a trial, but it's the trial, the proving, the promotion of my faith. That's what it is. That's what it's about. We are not alone in the trial. We are not alone in the trial. We are not alone in the trial. And a faithful high priest in things, and the word pertaining is not in the original language. That was added. He's a faithful high priest in things of God. Why? He's a high priest unto God. Why? So that He can bear my sins. So He can be my advocate. You see, in 1 John chapter 1, if I make a mistake, if I sin, if I don't do everything just so, then I have a high and holy advocate who is my high priest before God. And He is my advocate to the Father, and He is the one arguing my cause. Why? Whatever the trial brings, God is arguing for me because He is faithful. God is faithful. What will He do for me? He will give me exactly what I need. And He will take out exactly what is my bondage. The trial is there to remove me from bondage. The bondage is in my flesh. The trial is there to remove me from bondage, and that bondage is in my flesh. And this is my promotion. That I go from grace to grace, and that from, like the song says, from glory to glory, He's changing me. And He's changing me from an earthly image into a heavenly one. That's God's faithfulness. You know why the trial comes? Because He loves me and He is faithful to me. That's why it comes. Don't you see it? This isn't our life here and now. It really isn't. It only looks that way. We haven't started yet. Here and now is not my life. This is the threshold. This is the threshold, folks. My life is in eternity. This is just the place I get prepared. Do you understand this? Your life is in eternity. This is the place you are prepared. That's why the trial. That's why the testing. That's why the proving. To prepare me for eternity. We have not a high priest in Hebrews 4:15 which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows what temptation is. He knows what the trial is. He knows what the proving process is because He has gone through it in all points as we are. But He did not fail in it. But He knows exactly what it is to be attacked by the enemy. He knows exactly what it is to be treated unkindly. He knows exactly what it is to be persecuted. He knows exactly what it is when people go against you. He knows exactly what it is. He knows exactly what it is when even those that were the closest to Him turned their backs on Him. But you know what? He did not turn their backs on them. And this is how we get conformed to the image of Christ. That even though some may turn their backs on us, we do not turn our backs on them. Because we are being conformed to the image of His Son. Because He is faithful. And if we stay in the trial, God is in the trial. And He'll conform me to His image. And then He'll do something in the hearts of the others. Did you know that you are God to your family? You are Christ to your families. I don't care if you're the father or the mother or the child. You are Christ to your family. And if you have a difficult time at home, be Christ to your family. And if you get justly or unjustly, doesn't matter. If you have difficulty with somebody in your family, be Christ to your family. And if they are right, be Christ to the family. If they are wrong, be Christ to the family. I know one person. This person is a young person. This person is not the parent. They are the child. But that person has saved their family's life. Because they responded and they were Christ to their family. I'm not even sure they know that. There's more than one person like that in here. In here, in this room. That person was Christ to their family. And their family was transformed by that teenager's faithfulness to God. Stay faithful to God because God's faithful to you. Always stay faithful to God because God will stay faithful to you. In 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing. as unto a faithful Creator. He is your faithful Creator. There is no trial that can separate you from His love. He is your faithful Creator. He made you and He will keep you, and He planned it all out for you, and He brought the trial. He brought it to conform you to His image. He brought it to promote you. He brought it to bless you. He brought it to build you. He brought it to bring in a strength of character whereby your own emotions will have something rock solid to stand on, rather than responding on a horizontal plateau to everything that happens around you. That's not a good place to be. That's a devastating place to be. It's a horrible place to be. It feels awful to be there. There's no joy in that. So God brings the trial to the person so that they will have something to stand on, so their soul will have a foundation that was established by the Word of God, and the trial forces my spirit and my soul to respond to God's Word. I won't respond to God's Word if I don't have a trial to break up my fallow ground. So I need the trial. I need the test. And God brings it because He is faithful. He tests me because He is faithful. Not because He is hard, not because He disapproves of me, but because He approves of me. Not because He rejects me, but because He accepts me. And God is faithful in it. Underneath me are His everlasting arms. And so the worst that can happen is I'll fall into a nail print. You know what? I've been there all along. I live in the nail print of His hands. And He is faithful. That's why He has not gotten rid of those nail prints. That's why when we see Him in heaven, they will still be there. Because I live in those nail prints. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, "For all the promises of Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us." This is why He gives me the promise first before He puts me in the test. Because they are all yea, and He is glorified first in me through that test. Through that building process. That's why in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, He puts time, the world is their world. It's not the world. He puts time in our hearts so that no man can know how God's plan is going to bring God, the fulfillment of God's promises. Why? Because if we knew how the fulfillment would come, there would be no need for faith. And apart from faith, we cannot please Him. Apart from faith, we have no practical righteousness. And apart from faith, we cannot get to know Him. And the whole thing about eternal life is knowing Him in John 17:3. And so He gives a promise and He puts in a test right after the promise, because in that test of the promise, I get to know my Savior. Whatever the promise may be, whatever category I need, whatever the test may be, I have a promise, and God will test the promise. And He will bring it to pass. Why? Because He loves me and He is faithful to me. And He will do the same thing in every one of our lives. He will give us a promise and then He will test the promise, because He loves us and He is faithful to us, so that He can establish faith in our heart towards Him. God takes knowledge and makes it experiential. Second Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you to keep you from evil." In the test, God will establish me. He will order my steps. He will be the foundation for my steps. He will establish me and He will keep me from evil. He will keep me from the efforts of the enemy. How does He keep me from the efforts of the enemy? Through His Word. Through the hearing of the Word of God. Through the meditation of the Word of God. Through the Holy Spirit. Through the convictions that have already been built in my heart. He keeps me from the efforts of the enemy in my test. Because He is faithful. He is faithful. And the provision for everything that I need is already in place before time even began. Every provision I needed was already in place. He is faithful. He is faithful. In Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." What's a yoke? Some commentators say it's a yoke for two. It's like if you put oxen in. That's not the yoke. The yoke in ancient Israel was something that a student put on from a teacher. He's saying, take me as your teacher. Take my instruction on you. That is what he's saying. That's his yoke. Take me as your teacher. Take my instruction unto yourself. Why? Because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The burden of the world is not easy and it is not light. The burden of the enemy is not easy and it is not light. The burden of my flesh is not easy and it is not light. But his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So I learn of him. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Do you want rest? Do you want clarity? Do you know why confusion comes? Confusion comes when I have turned away from the Word of God. When I turned away from the promises of God. When I went after my emotions or my flesh or the world or something other that is not of God. That is where I get confused. If I am confused, it is a big red flag in my life that I have turned from the things of God. And I need to regaze, refocus. I need to turn back and go back to being close to my Savior, to being close to the body, to being close to the Word, to being close to my pastor, to being close to the provisions that God has given me. God is not the author of confusion either. God has not given us confusion. A sound mind, not a confused mind. My confusion comes in when I turn away from the promises of God, when I turn away from His Word and His Spirit, when I turn away from the things of God, my confusion comes in. This is why people get confused. God's way is very simple. It's not confusing. It's simple. But it's when I pursue something other than God that my confusion comes in. So what do? I turn back. I turn back to the things of God. I turn back to the promises of God. I turn back to the people of God. I turn back to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God. I turn back to my Savior. And what does He do? Does He chastise me or scold me, ridicule me? No, He embraces me. The Father embraces the child that comes home, back to Him. He embraces him. And He puts a robe on him, and a fatted calf is killed. And a ring is put on his hand, which means he has the signet of God's authority, of His character. Shoes are put on his feet, and he is welcomed home. He is welcomed back. Never to be brought up again, he is welcomed back. And sometimes you go there in a very outward way, and sometimes you go there in a very subtle mental or emotional way. Either way is a far country. So I turn back, and I go home to my Father. I go home to the Word. I go home to the body, to my church, to my pastor. I go home to the people of God. I go home to the Spirit of God. I go home to where simplicity used to be. And I go back. In Isaiah 54 and verse 17, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Why? You will prove them to be a liar. Every tongue that is raised against you in judgment, you will prove to be a liar, because no weapon can be formed against you. No person, no demon, no nothing can form a successful weapon against you, because God will come in and protect you from evil. He'll come in every time, because He is faithful. He is faithful. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of Me, saith the Lord. God gave you your righteousness, and God protects it. And He will protect it. He will protect it. Absolutely, He will protect it, because He is faithful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that called you, who will also do it. Don't you realize that when God gives you a calling, when God gives you a promise, when God puts something on your heart, you're not the one who needs to produce it. God does it for you. You know what God does? He gives you an announcement. Look, this is what I'm going to do for you. Why? Because I love you. Why? Because this is the fullness of life for you. And so I give you something, and I'm going to let you know before it comes. He always does that. He always lets us know before it comes. Isaiah 42, Isaiah 43, John 16. He always lets us know before it comes. Why? Because He is faithful and He loves me, and He wants me to be confident toward Him. And He wants me to know how much He cares about me. And He wants me to know just how deeply involved He is in my life. And He wants me to have His glory in my heart when it comes. Faithful is He. Your life is never in a position where God will not be faithful to you. Your life is never in a position where you have blown it so badly that God will not be faithful to you. Your life is never in a position where your heart has gotten so hard that God will not be faithful to you. Your life is never in a position that you can do anything where God will not be faithful to you. God will always be faithful. God will always be faithful. In Philippians chapter 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. See, that's the beauty of the call. I don't even have to be willing. He makes me willing. He gives me the desire toward Him. He gives me the desire toward the things of God. He gives me the desire to lay down my life for Him in the gospel. He gives me that desire. I don't have to work it up. He works it in me. And you know how He does it? He draws me with the cords of a man. He draws me with His loving kindness and tender mercies. And He draws me. If you know the love of God, if you know the love of God, then being willing becomes very easy. Why? Because if I ask Him for bread, He will not give me a stone. If I ask Him for an egg, He will not give me a scorpion. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He knows the thoughts that He has toward me in Jeremiah 29. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. He has thoughts toward my welfare, my well-being. And He will bring above and beyond all I can ask or think in Ephesians 3:20. But first I have to seek the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto me. Because He is faithful. He is faithful. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Which one of his 7,831 promises is not good? Did he say them and then not do them? Of course they're good. Now notice something. He doesn't just say he will do them. Shall he not make it good? Shall he not make it good? Oh, but I'm afraid, God. Don't worry. I will make it good. Oh, but you don't understand, God. I have other plans. I have these preservations in my life and I have these insecurities. I'm a little bit scared. I will make it good. It will be good. And I'll tell you one thing. The goodness of God cannot be matched by the goodness of the world. Cannot be matched by the goodness of man. And He will make it good. So I don't get afraid, because God makes it good. Romans 4:20, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is Abraham, of course. And being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was also able to perform it. As he promised, he was able to perform. It was a miracle. It was impossible. There was no possible way that could happen. He was 100 years old. His body was as good as death. Sarah's body was as good as death. And God gave him a son, and he did not stagger through unbelief, because God is faithful. God is faithful. And he made it good. He made it good. You're in a trial, God will make it good. Something beyond your capacity, or at least so it feels like it, God will make it good. God will make it good. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And He will make it good. Psalm 138:8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. How is it that God will perfect that which concerns me? He will perfect it through His mercy. And His mercy endures forever. He perfects me through His mercy. He doesn't perfect me through His scolding. God will never scold me. People are afraid to come to God because they're afraid He's going to scold them. God's not going to scold you. God will love you. And God will welcome you. And God will embrace you. And God will be kind to you. And He will be gentle and loving and patient with you. He's not going to scold you. He's not going to get mad at you. He loves you. The only one God ever got mad at was Satan. And so He created hell. But you have not been appointed unto wrath in 1 Thessalonians. God cannot get mad at you, because you are His beloved. You are His beloved. Isaiah 43. A backslidden nation, gone after idols. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Fear not, I have created thee, and I called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. And then in verse 4, since you are precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. And get this, fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. In application, it doesn't matter how you scatter your life, God will bring it back to Himself. He is faithful. God is faithful. Amen.